Good morning, everyone. Today is Thursday, August 16, 2018. It is 9 a.m. in the County Administration Workshop. We are gathered in the BCC Conference Room. President Commissioner Hare, Commissioner DeYoung, and Commissioner Morgan is in council right now. But item number one is legal counsel resolution number 2018-048 in the matter of referring to Josephine County voters at the November 6th election, 2018 election advisory question on marijuana taxation. And so this was approved at the WBS yesterday, but if you'd like to make any changes, now is the time to do that before the deadline on Friday. And I don't have a copy of that with me. Do we have a copy of that, Wendy?
Yeah.
Floating around somewhere?
I think we've got that one pretty much.
I think that one's pretty well down.
The second one.
Commissioner Morgan, did you have any corrections to the advisory question on marijuana?
No, we passed it last
right.
Not, yeah, yesterday.
Yeah,
right?
I just want to know, just an opportunity if you had any other suggestions. Moving along to B is resolution number 2018-049, matter of referring to Josephine County voters at the November 6, 2018 election advisory question on road access. And I think that's the one we were struggling with a little bit.
We sure are. But we will have something.
Under our caption, I just wrote this out. Should access to public land, including forest land, be maintained? Very simple question.
Yep.
And then when we get down to, that's the caption, excuse me. Then in the question, we can go on to provide access for firefighting wildland fires and something along that line.
Yeah, no, that's
to reduce damage to our forest land.
Right.
Oregon, everybody's forest land.
Yeah. I'll have something. I was thinking about, taking the admin meeting and we could just put it in recess till like 2 o'clock. We could get it settled today. We don't need it to do
well,
it
I'm
tomorrow.
Not going to be here at 2 o'clock because I'm out the fairgrounds from 2 on.
So we're going to make you come to work
from 2 until 6, yes.
I'll just submit it and you guys can figure it out from there. Okay. I'll probably be here, but.
But something along that line that's just very succinct.
Yeah, the problem, honestly, with that is they say there is public access. There is access, trails, and other things.
Well, in our ballot so summary, that's where we.
Will you read it again? Because it didn't quite sit with me.
Should access to public land, including forest land, be maintained?
Okay, so I don't want it to be an access word. I okay. want it to be.
I see what you're saying. We do have access.
Yeah, it's got to be yeah. more specific.
And they have torn out some roads, but they're picking on other roads. So thus that line that goes down towards, mm-hmm. for them to be putting a Type 1 crew at Gold Beach, that's their plan, is to let it go. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Bear
Look
Camp doesn't hold it.
Ground it'll have to burn to get there.
Oh, yeah.
But my problem is it shouldn't get to that. If we would have had an adequate road system
no,
at the beginning, it would never be that.
So,
we wouldn't be having this discussion.
So should roads in wilderness and forest lands be maintained for fire prevention reasons or something like that?
Okay, so we got to do it in the caption's got to be 10 words max. And then with the question, we can go 20 words. And then we got 175 in the summary. That you we can explain that. So if you can narrow that down, I agree.
Okay, so
what
instead
you're
of
saying.
Access, but should roads in U.S. Forest Service and BLM lands be maintained year round?
They are maintained year round. I mean, they've got like six different categories for maintenance on these roads, and I don't know. It's not
should.
Easy.
If I mean, but
easy,
then pulling brush back is that
now.
Maintenance?
They don't have a they don't have a mandated vegetation management plan.
I don't mind them pushing a berm up and to decommission a road, but they went in and ripped them out with an 8 with rippers on the back and ripped up the culverts and everything. And I don't know if we should roads be restored? In other words, go back in and put them in.
Yeah, that's a tool in the tool chest for
that's one of the
mitigating
things.
Fire risk.
Right.
Totally. I was thinking it's so the Forest Service is going to do their resource management plan coming up next year, and that's really where this conversation is going to be. we're not going to affect real change next year. The only thing that does that, even a lawsuit, will take you 3 years.
Right.
We filed something today.
All I want to hear from the public, from these people out here, is what's your opinion? Should those roads be reopened or restored to the way they were back?
Should historic roads in Forest Lands and Josephine County be restored?
My thought was is that we could really focus on the U.S. Forest Service. All that ground right now is pretty.
That's all you use for.
Forest Service.
Yeah.
We do a pretty good job on BLM land of roads being accessed.
And ODA.
And that resource management plan just got passed in 2016. Yeah. Forest Service is going to have theirs coming up in their 3-year process starting at the end of this year, beginning of next year. It would be really advantageous to have for the board going forward, this is what Josephine County thinks about your resource management plan and how it impacts pretty much the county offices, but you could say U.S. Forest Service. So
I'd say U.S. Forest Service, because they've gone in and torn out roads everywhere.
They really have.
Mm-hmm.
And they just they just finalized their transportation management plan in 2014, and honestly, they didn't have that much that they did away with there. I think this happened over 30 years of where they have this huge wilderness designation. There are no real roads. I mean, there are probably historic roads, but there's no access to them anymore. We need to open up access.
Should access to historic roads on U.S. Forest Service lands be?
Should the U.S. Forest Service be required to restore roads in all areas? That's 11 words.
Why don't we get Mr. Weber done?
Okay, let's do that.
I appreciate that you guys are here this morning. Maybe we can hash something out.
We're going to set B aside for right now. We'll move on to item number two, department business. Public health, 2A is public health. 2018-2023 intergovernment agreement number 157351 in Oregon Health Authority with the Oregon Health Authority for
maternal
and child health, Center for Prevention and Health Promotion. And we have Michael Weber here.
Morning,
Public Health Director.
So this program's actually been struggling a little bit recently just because of hiring. We've had trouble bringing a nurse on board. This is the updated intergovernmental agreement for Title V services, maternal child health, babies first. So we actually just extended our 7th offer, and we finally we got a biter. We are having a nurse come on board and probably will be in September. So
we have not been able to compete with private sector with nurses. And that's why we haven't.
We lucked out. Well, we have a master's level nurse, which is above what we need for this program, who also has a master's in public health. And they're simply passionate about the topic and they want to support it. So they are willing to accept our better benefits and lower pay in exchange for supporting this program. So this intergovernmental agreement essentially will reinstitute a lot of the program that we have been working with partners in the community to support, but they're only willing to go so far.
Okay, so you've got that one.
So this is an existing program. Is this one, it's just an extension of contract, so is that one that I sign?
Well, the intergovernmental agreements exceed $50,000.
Okay, there we go.
So.
Well, as an intergovernmental agreement, I need to write a policy guide.
Had previously done one for public health, though, because there are so many of these constantly.
Yeah, changes, amendments are fine, but an IGA.
But it's really an existing program that is continuing.
Oh.
Did you change any of the language in the 2018 intergovernmental agreement?
Yes, there has been some changes in how the funding streams are managed. And so.
Contracts are different.
I know. I don't have an expectation that you've read them all, but I know you've received the program elements that outline how the public health programs are operated. They're going through some significant changes at the state level. So they are making changes to the intergovernmental agreement. Operationally, there's no real significant impact for us in terms of how we execute. We aren't changing the services we provide. However, how we are reimbursed, I know, has gone through some changes. So our reimbursement
is it still in transition? In other words, this intergovernmental agreement, we signed this for 1 year, correct? Is this a 1-year agreement? You do that every year or when they make changes?
This This agreement shall expire on June 30th, 2023.
Okay, so 4 years. 5 years?
5 years.
Yeah. 5 years, okay.
But it is an existing program that's just continuing with some changes to the agreement.
Yes. Operationally, no changes, but financially, there's changes to how we're reimbursed.
I have no problem with it moving forward to the WBS, but I would ask that we verify with Leah.
Legal and finance have both reviewed and signed off on it.
As far as who the signatures have to be.
Okay, I'll double check with them right after this.
Okay, Commissioner.
Oregon Mayor, Health Authority Mayor. Will have probably 2 to 3 of these a month, if not more. And at some point there was.
Not IGAs.
Some of them have been.
Not typically, they're contract amendments. IGAs are the overarching guide. Mm-hmm. Everything subsequent to that is really your responsibility.
That's fine. I just want to make sure
but
that
IGAs
I'm not wasting you guys'
time.
IGAs
should always be signed by the full board.
Okay.
That's that highest level, it's an intergovernment, it's IGA contract, you know, and then everything down from there. It's just the overarching guiding structure for it, and that's.
Okay.
So for the next 5 years, it should be the liaison style. So when amendments will happen on this kind of thing. Yeah, sounds good.
So okay, we're okay to move this to the consent?
It's probably more of an administrative element.
Admin?
There's a finance change, but not a budget change.
Yeah. That's great. I'm sure Commissioner Morgan is dialed in on it enough to speak to it.
Will you be on hand to give a presentation at that?
I can.
Like it would be good if we have any questions.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. Anything else from you today?
So Commissioner Morgan, you had mentioned me discussing some health related. Is that something that we can cover on the agenda?
The board asked earlier in the week that we discuss some of the air quality stuff, and so I asked Mike to bring us some options.
So generally speaking, when you're talking about air quality concerns, policies are usually developed around impacts to the general population, not to the highest risk population. So there's usually three levels of response, and they aren't very formalized, but I tried to do a little bit of work on formalizing them here. So they tend to fall into three categories. There's the level one, personal responsibility. That's where if you make minor changes to your day-to-day activities, you can alleviate most of the healthcare concerns, even for at-risk populations. That's kind of where we've been at, and that's where we've been operating. We've been working with consistent messaging out from us, the CCOs and the healthcare organizations. They've been providing direct support to community members, at-risk community members, for counseling, guidance, providing personal protective equipment. The next level, which we've been dipping our toe into, but will likely, I would recommend moving into, is where there is a minor risk. I think the biggest problem that we face with smoke is its visibility. The actual long-term risk to the general population is very small, but because it's so visible and because it's that short-term irritant, even though there may not be a long-term concern, people are very aware of it and they tend to be very vocal and concerned, and you probably start to hear a lot of that. So moving into that level two is where we engage more at the community level. We encourage social organizations like religious groups and nonprofits and other community groups to start to open up their doors, actively advertise, start holding activities indoors so kids don't have to go outside. As much as my kids have loved having an excuse for the entire summer to not do anything outdoors, I'd like to see them doing something more active. And a bit more of an active outreach by our healthcare organization is to, in level one, it's really passive. We're waiting for people to come to us saying, you know, I'm concerned. In level two, we start reaching out to at-risk populations and us pushing to them rather than a poll. And also, we should start to recommend anything that increases respiratory rates, in particular, is a concern in smoke. Smoke isn't a real big problem, but you go out and you run a half marathon, you start to breathe deeply, you get those small particulates deeper in your lungs, and things like pneumonia become a higher risk. So if there's sporting activities, if we do move into that level two, I'd advise that the board make a recommendation, purely an advisement, that outdoor physical activities be stopped. so sporting events and such.
So yesterday morning I got a air quality report from the fire team saying what the day was expected to be, and it said it was supposed to be unhealthy in Grants Pass and very unhealthy in Selma. Today's report for today showed what yesterday actually was, and it was very unhealthy in Riverbanks, Merlin, and Grants Pass, and hazardous in Selma. So they underestimated how much smoke hazard there was going to be yesterday. But it's not much better, though there were some winds changed, and we're still supposed to maybe get that thunderstorm today. But, you know, it says that hazardous and very unhealthy, it's not just reduced physical activity outside. So I'm curious.
Well, even at level one, we recommend avoiding outdoor activity. Stay indoors to the extent you're able. But it doesn't require a significant change to your day-to-day life unless you work outside. And that's where, when you get to level two, is where you start to have more of a concern there, because you're actively telling people you should avoid as much outdoor activity as possible, stay inside. And even things like mowing your lawn, avoid, because that does kick more particulate up into the air. Regarding the actual versus projected, we have a lot of microclimate conditions here in Josephine County because of the mountains and everything else. So it's difficult to project exactly where smoke's
going. If we went to level two, I'm just going to do this from a contractor's point of view. So we go to level two and it says, advise against activities outdoors, increase respiratory rates, sporting events, or that raise particulate counts, mowing lawns, construction, etc. So contractors are telling their people to keep hammering nails, and they go, no, I don't have to.
This is purely an advisement to the organizations, and how that would be worded or advised, I'd probably leave to you as the commissioner. But what I'm saying is, we purely make a recommendation. In fact, at all of these levels, when it comes to a private organization, we're making a recommendation. But yeah, that is a concern.
What I don't see on here is the criteria that leads to these. And what I'm looking for is, yesterday was a month, and it should be a certain level of unhealthy for a duration of time. Mm-hmm. This isn't going to go away anytime soon. I mean, it might have a nice blue day here and there when the wind is going towards the coast or something else. But it just feels like, I don't know that we're, if this were happening. And
you want triggers.
Yeah, I was also thinking that, you know, this would be politically 100% unacceptable. And this kind of comes back to the question that we were talking about earlier. And the state of Jefferson. I didn't link these two together yesterday, but if Portland were experiencing this in a routine basis, heads would roll. Things would change. Merkley and Wyden would be living in Portland addressing this issue. Because this is happening down here, Calmeopsis, it's not Mendocino and stuff like that, I don't feel like we're getting the attention we deserve. And something like this, this, even if it isn't, I mean, yesterday was really bad. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to continue to be that way. I think we've all been in the forest for a little while, and we're just getting used to it to a degree.
Yeah, my family was concerned I wasn't wearing a mask yesterday at the fair.
Yeah.
I said, well, I'll be one of the only ones. You know, it's like, this is just what we do in Southern Oregon. But it's not okay, you're right.
It's not okay. I think we're so used to...
And today I'm congested, yeah. I'm feeling it. And
we're so used to just dealing with it. So I'm looking for that criteria that backs up any one of these things.
So I'm working with the state to define the triggers. These activities pulled together. But I'm working with them to figure out exactly what it is. So
I get what everything is on here, but it just seems like there needs to be a defensible. It shouldn't be objective. The board shouldn't have to, well, are we at level one?
That is not my expectation.
I think we're at level two for sure right now.
Yeah.
Well, and the bigger concern is what's going to come back is going to be much higher levels than you expect. And it's, as I said, again, that short-term irritant and the high visibility of the problems with smoke makes people very concerned. But if you actually dig into the medical literature, the actual long-term risks are much smaller than people
realize. Show me what medical literature there is out there that it shows a community that has been exposed to wildfire at this level for as long as we have. There's not many communities that experience daily smoke outside of maybe a volcanic area.
Well, that's a different type of particular.
I hear you, but still, I mean.
It's tough to find a comparison.
Who else has had a comparison to this long of oiled land fiber?
Yeah, we're a month. We're at a month now.
And this is, we did over a month last year. We were at 6 weeks last year. We're going to hit over 2 months this year. So I love the medical research to say that they have it, but I have yet to see another community that's been exposed as long as we have or potentially will be.
Well, there actually is quite a bit of literature because of folks like Hot Shots and other smoke jumpers. Most of the literature
they're
is around
firefighters.
They're there
for 14 days and leave.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best we have, so it's something that we have to look at.
This is a difficult topic to research. It legitimately is.
I don't mind that. I think the three levels are very good. I mean, those three levels.
Mm-hmm.
When do you pull the trigger on each level? Do we just take the air quality report from...
He's working on it.
Yeah, you know, what's the trigger to say level two? I don't mind advertising these right here and saying these are the three levels you should start paying attention to and maybe add it to the news report. Let them, you know, give them the criteria for when to pull the trigger on these three and let them do it. I mean,
no, the board will make a recommendation based on the
criteria. To go to level three or
he and
whatever.
State officials come up with, and that's what I'm that's the next step.
Okay.
It's the first step is to find that. And I bet, you know, we're probably pretty close could identify that you've already pre-identified the fact that we're at level one, but we're likely dipping our toe into level two is what you said. And that's probably the case. We probably could be at level two.
But is this an accurate, does the board agree this is an accurate split of conditions?
Well, to provide just more of a generic outline, level one is really we put the onus on the individual.
Right.
And level
two,
we put the onus on community groups. And level three is us. And level three, I would not recommend that lightly. If we hit level three, that means that as a county, we're taking responsibility, which means we're shutting down all outdoor activity. We're actively trying to get people out of the area. We're asking the state to support us in, we have an immediate health crisis.
Can't see across the street.
Is there
that
some
happened in 2014? I don't know what degree, you know, there's got to be some criteria that gets us there, because, you know, 2014 with the Douglas complex, it really doesn't get much worse than that unless you are a hotshot and you're in it. It felt like you were in it. I've been burning my entire life, and it doesn't get any thicker than I couldn't see those buildings across the street.
Yeah.
So the other thing is we can look locally at what the impacts have been and get a pretty good idea of where we're at. So I've spoken with a number of healthcare organizations in the community as well as AMR. And as of right now, again, people overestimate the impacts of smoke. We aren't seeing a huge spike. AMR's had a very minor rise in respiratory related concerns.
Hospital might be getting more.
Apparently it was a couple weeks ago, and then it's just been at capacity, where I was told by someone that, no, we've had more, but they were already at capacity. So it kind of gave a false sense of, there's been a slight uptake, they're saying. They're like, we're at capacity with respiratory stuff. You're always at capacity. They didn't say that part.
I see.
One individual I spoke to yesterday joked about how they've actually seen a larger increase in poison oak than they have in smoke.
Did you hear back from the respiratory clinic?
Not yet.
My concern is that people are just getting used to it. If you dump this,
I've seen family members be more affected by it as they're working outside, and I'm not seeing them. Nobody wants to seek medical attention. No, it'll go away. I'll get over it. It's just, you know.
Well, if you talk to a doctor, their concern is, what's your health going to be like this afternoon or tomorrow? Mm-hmm. From public health perspective, I'm worried about 6 months from now, next year, 10 years from now. And that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the long-term impacts. The short-term impacts, and something to keep in mind, if we were to go to level three, that would be huge. We're talking about a huge economic and health impact at that point.
Where do the feds play into that, or do they?
I don't want to say this with absolute certainty, but I'm fairly confident there's never been a declaration related to just air quality concerns. So for us to see an actual declaration at the federal level would be unprecedented.
But I don't think this is a precedented fire season.
And we may have to, if we did get that federal declaration, that would open up far more doors. There'd still be a local economic impact, but some of that could be mitigated.
I think we just need more information around setting the criteria for this. So if you can go back and do that.
Yep.
Everything else we're talking about is speculative right now, but
yeah.
I think we need to be prepared for that
mm-hmm.
in the event that we get to some of those, and we need to be able to defend it, the rationale for addressing and declaring something. But I wouldn't want to shy away from it. It's I think we've just acquiesced to getting used to this, and it's not okay.
Well, on the political side, I'm happy to put the onus on all of you.
It will be.
To work with the
state.
That's
why we have to.
And we're not doing it just for political purposes.
Oh, I know.
So
but I understand
there
what you're
is
saying.
A level of, I'm hearing from everywhere, I mean, the smoke is frustrating people.
I think the smoke is a nuisance to most people right now.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people that, you know, I mentioned it to somebody the other day. They said, well, boy, what about the smoke? And I says, you know, you're talking about a government that filled 1.5 of my lungs full of asbestos and doesn't seem concerned about it. Why should they be concerned about a little smoke off of a fire?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to wave a big red flag and say, gosh, we're just dying down here. And then somebody drives in and says, hey, wait a minute. This is normal day for us, you know, because it's, you know, it's not a big deal, but it is to us because it ruined our summers, that summer after summer after summer. I'm more affected rather than the smoke and the smell of it. I don't even smell it anymore. I open the screen door.
I see it, but I can't smell it.
I see it. It's more of a, I'd love to see the blue sky in the summer and the mountains and stuff. That's why I live here. And the smoke is keeping me from doing it. It's more of a nuisance than it is a health hazard to me. Yeah, I cough and wheeze and hack, but I do that anyway. I just don't want us to sensationalize something that somebody else is going to go, what? What are you complaining about? You know?
Well, there's a tie in here. So
but
people are talking about suing the feds.
Mm-hmm.
And we just said it wasn't that bad. So what are you suing them over, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's got to be some continuity and more conversation
right.
here. So I do smell it. I was thinking about that this morning. My sheets and my bedspread. It's like,
yep.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm not camping here.
Yep. You can set jerky out on the porch and it'll smoke itself.
Yeah, my
you
whole
don't
house
need to
smells
put
like
it in the smoker anymore.
And so I kind of disagree. We've got to keep it, you know, at a level of, we're talking about threatening to litigate. We've got to find some, you know, some smoking gun, so to speak. It's all got to go together with a story that says this is not okay, it's not acceptable. If we weren't as a resilient region like we are, if we were Portland, they would be freaking out about this from a global.
Well, they were last year when they had that Columbia River fire.
And it was 50 miles away.
Yeah.
You know?
And blowing the other direction.
Anyway.
Well, as of right now, formalizing the trigger on this is going to take some time, but I'm not going to wait for that. My plan is to move on to level 2. I'll reach out to the CCOs and other healthcare groups and see what we can do about actively engaging the at-risk populations. And we'll also see if we can get some community groups to start opening up some clean air spaces and try to get some more indoor activities in place. The other thing is I'll start more actively engaging the healthcare organizations, and as soon as we start to see any kind of spike in health impacts. Immediate health impacts, I'll probably look at taking additional action then.
Now, you know, probably ought to define where this stuff is, because the other day I drove, when I got to the top of Sexton,
mm-hmm.
from there on I went up to Riddle, and it was gorgeous.
Well,
same way when I was coming back from Coos Bay.
And then
as soon as you drop into this bowl,
we are affected, but Roseburg's not, you know, and Riddle's not, Myrtle Creek's not.
You remind me of driving into LA when I lived there.
Yeah.
Except my aunt and uncle went there 2 weeks ago, and they had smoke from Eugene till the last mountain coming into L.A., and they came into L.A. with cleaner skies.
Oh,
and you know
yeah.
it's bad if L.A.'s air
LA
is cleaner than anything
yeah.
all the way there.
I lived there for 4 years. I can definitely attest to that. So, the microclimates are always going to be a problem. I've gone to Merlin, and it's been nice, clear sky. I think on Monday I was up there, and then I came here.
But maybe that works to our advantage. I don't know.
Well, and then by the afternoon that's flipped, so.
Yeah. Well, I'd like the break-off point, and I guess your question you're asking is, do we go to level two? That's kind of your call, right? That's the...
No, he makes a recommendation. It's our call.
What we're looking for is the criteria that gets us there. Because if you could go back and work on that, codify it, blur it into what the thresholds are, number of days, and the particulates, and such like that, that's what we need.
Okay.
Okay.
That'll be a bit more complicated. In the meantime, I am going to start engaging at that level.
Work back from level three. What constitutes a level three?
Yes.
And
then well, I'm
help
talking...
Define the bookends.
Yes. I'm with you. All right.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you, Michael. Okay, we're going back to B then. So... B, do you want time to work on that today?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing today.
Okay, all right.
I think I understand.
It's too important to miss this ballot with this question. I think, especially if going into next year, the Forest Service is going to have their plan.
I just don't want something. I mean, I've never asked a question that didn't actually have a definitive, like, there was a reason why we did it, and here's the outcome.
And I think you've got 175 words in the ballot summary to do that.
Yeah.
And you can wordsmith that. But, I mean, going into our ballot measure caption and the ballot measure question, those two need to be really succinct and be very, you know, people are talking about the reason we're having these fires is because the Forest Service decommissioned those roads and we can't, as you said, took 2 days to build a road in that was there, and you could have just followed an aid in there with all the firefighting equipment, just clearing brush.
Right.
Nope. You're actually constructing roads that were destroyed.
I think from talking to the people that I have, and maybe your guys' conversations are different. If this wasn't a roadless area, this wouldn't be an issue.
No, it wouldn't.
They would be out.
Correct.
They would have had fire lines, and this would have been not 57% contained, but 97%.
Oh, Klondike's 12.
Yeah.
No, I'm looking at the
email that came out this morning.
Yeah, this one today, incident, Klondike containment is 15%. My apologies. Taylor Creek's 52, but Klondike's only 15.
And maybe I was looking at the Taylor 52, but whatever. I mean, that those containment areas
Klondike would never be more than a brush fire if we'd had access to it.
Yeah. Access is the main deal. And
That's the big change from back when we were logging.
George said, he's like, how could you set aside a million acres of wilderness designated as roadless, most fire prone in the nation, and not expect this to happen
every year.
5 years.
And in they can say, well, I guess it's just going to do that every year. The spinoff of that fire, even if you let it burn every year, this is what we get. This is what it's affecting everything other than the wilderness area.
Right.
So do you sue the wilderness area? Do you sue Sierra Club? Who do you sue to say, you know what, your environmental practices is what caused this, you've got the money?
Yeah.
I've always said send them the bill. When we had to send sheriff's departments out to protect the Sierra Club protesters, send them a bill for that. Oh, we can't do that. I said, then they're going to continue on. There's no monetary, if you could ever tie it back to what their wishes were, that'd be great, but I don't know if you can do that.
So they're bringing in yet another Type 1 team to transition to take over on Saturday.
Is anyone going to that fire meeting?
Sarah's going to go do it this afternoon.
I mean, the one Court Voice is putting together with Merv. I've talked to Merv several times. And I don't know that. It's in Brookings at 11 on Friday.
I have with the cooperators meeting at 10. Yeah. I don't know that I would be going over there.
Does anything come out of those meetings? If you go over to Brookings, they schedule meetings and everybody sits in their room, and I'm hearing the same thing day after day after day after day.
I talked to Court yesterday. He's concerned about protecting Agnes was his thing. I said, then why are they talking about letting it burn to Gold Beach? That this is going to reach Gold Beach.
I think Agnes is going to be okay. They've been working on those lines, contingency, for weeks.
They have. But he wasn't aware they were talking about going to Gold Beach.
Really?
Yeah.
No, Merv was over there and had a 3-day meeting with them, like, last week.
Yeah, court
How
was,
did he not know?
Thought Agnes was the threat. So, anyhow,
I mean,
Sarah's...
Gold Beach isn't even on that map.
No.
Look at how big that fire has to get, right?
Sarah's going to go to the in-briefing this afternoon to hear what they're, because they're changing. They sent out an email just saying we're changing where we're sending people, but they didn't say the new plan.
So if we're at 100,000 acres right there, look at, it's got to burn. It'll be a 300,000 acre fire, I'd say, before it gets.
Easily.
It'd be bigger than that.
Yeah. Because
it's not only going to burn
no,
in one direction.
Right.
Biscuit was 500,000.
Yeah.
It will outpace Biscuit. If it's going all the way to Gold Beach.
It'll outpace Biscuit if they let it do that. And they're going
to
let it.
They're bringing 3 hotshot crews to get in and save Selma. And they're trying to save that bottom right corner, south.
We say
corner.
They'll do, that'll be fine, but I don't know. They've got level one on $8.
No, they went level one this morning to the California border.
Wow.
So it...
You're kidding.
No. No, it came out this morning. Border level one evacuation, 199. West side of 199 to the border, level one evacuation. It came out, what time is this? 8:26.
To the border?
Yeah. You know, and in reality, we are supposed to be level one in the summertime here anyhow. You'd
That's
be ready,
million,
but...
That's a million acre fire then.
So...
You're only supposed to get million acre fires in Mulher County. We're only a million acres. I keep saying that statistic. Since 2002, 50% of Josephine County's experienced catastrophic wildfire, acre-wise. If you got the Biscuit at 500, most of that was in Josephine County. It's overlapping acres. It's not like...
Yeah.
But
there's not a lot left that they haven't burned yet.
Right.
And I don't want them to get to the rest. But yes, as of this morning...
Crazy.
Everything... to the California border on the west side of 199 went to level one.
I feel badly that if we don't show for court's meeting, but send them something that we...
I can try to take part by phone, and I'll touch base with them today if you like, but I don't think... I don't think... Is it the time to go over there when it's still the risk is in our backyard?
Yeah, and we've talked with Merv. I mean, I sat down with him with Herman and...
I think he's getting a pretty consistent message from everybody that sits down and talks to him.
Yeah.
Well, you've talked to him. You've talked to him. I've met him a couple of times, you know, and expressed quick thoughts, but, I mean, it's just it's stop, rewind, play again. He knows what the problem is, but he doesn't know how to fix it.
It's Herman. I mean, they went and had breakfast and dinner the other day. I mean, Herman's so knowledgeable.
Yes,
he predicted this the model said 5% chance that one day we were at the Ivy Fire and everybody was there. Mm-hmm. The model said a 5% chance of the Taylor and the Klondike coming together. And Herman just laughed. He's like, those two are coming together.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a week old map.
Right.
I don't know how old these ones are. But
yeah, it's pretty much Well,
so how do we protect, you say we burned off, and you made the comment, Commissioner, that how do we stop the stuff that hasn't burned in the last 2 fires? How do we stop, and what do we do to prepare that section of the forest so that it's...
You have roads throughout the system that are fire lines. I mean, when you look at that, and their road that they created, Bear Camp, across the top, is their line to keep, they will allow it to burn all the way to Bear Camp, all the way across that top. They will allow it to burn all the way west to Bear Camp, where Bear Camp at Agnes comes down to Brookings. And if it doesn't hold at the Bear Camp Road, their next contingency is Gold Beach.
If it'll jump Rogue River and it'll jump the Columbia, it's not gonna, Bear Camp Road just to...
Hasn't jumped the Rogue River, they stopped it.
Yeah, but...
But
it jumped
did,
the Illinois
it
a couple of times.
Illinois. Yeah.
You know, I'm talking Bear Camp Road isn't very wide.
I need to talk to Bob about the maps we're getting too, because, and I don't know if these are the most current ones or not. But we need a better picture of the southeast end of Klondike because it's not showing where the fire growth is here. It's kind of at the north, but we don't necessarily, I don't know if you guys care so much about the Taylor Creek because there's not a lot of growth going on in that one, but the growth is happening on Klondike as far as seeing the daily updates.
Well, I'll get to work on that question. And you'll have a draft today.
Let's do that. Okay.
Over it tomorrow.
If you would be so kind to do that.
I'm not looking forward to it, I'll be perfectly honest. It had been done already had it been easy.
Yeah, I get that. There's a lot of things.
If it had been easy, I'd have done it already.
Yeah, but I really think that this is the time to put this on the ballot. Those two questions, the marijuana question and the wilderness studies question, it really, really, really needs to be done.
I agree.
So when they start formulating their plans, say, well, yeah, it doesn't really matter. Just say, whoa, 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 this is what the people think. Not that they ever listen to what the people say anyway, but it's just the way it goes.
What was the term that you used with Joseph Rice yesterday about the lawsuit? With storage?
Discretionary immunity.
That's it.
Okay, so
that's what that Stoll-Reeves report said. That's the challenge with the agency administering their lands. They've got plans, and it's at their discretion of how they go about implementing them.
So what about declaring lead agency like they're suggesting, like Apache County, Arizona did?
I don't know about that.
It might be worth looking at.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So we're done with B, you're going to work on B.
Mm-hmm.
We're done with A, we're done with 2A. So we're on to 3, other business?
Matters.
And now we're going to matters. Board business, matters
so
for
you'll
permission.
Coordinate with court. I'll send them a text and just say, okay. I'm with you, but we've been coordinating pretty well on the set.
I'll follow up with court as well. Okay. I'd like to call Merv George and touch base with him too. Just kind of
let him know we're still in the room.
Yeah, they're having the meeting this afternoon in Medford. They're sending a team to Gold Beach, but the end briefing for the fire teams coming in, it's like, why are you doing a meeting in Medford when the fires are here and going west? But they're having the meeting in Medford. So I asked Sarah to go to get the, because she needs to make the contacts with the liaisons and the PIOs to make sure they have her contact information, and she'll brief us on what they're following up with.
Anything else?
No, sir.
Commissioner Hare?
Just 1 second.
I think the fair was actually, the concert had pretty good attendance considering the smoke. I mean, at least 2/3 of that stadium was full. And there were more people sitting outside who didn't realize they had to pay extra to get in the concert. So they were all sitting around the outsides of the thing. So I thought it was interesting. And then the dedication of those 4-H kids and the FFA kids showing their animals is pretty impressive.
I like that. Did you go down and see the little town that Community Credit Union put in? It was fantastic. And those kids are using their little house to change their clothes in for going to show the animals. That's pretty impressive. That's an asset going forward also. Those are movable, so you can use them for weddings, wedding backdrops and things of that sort. So be able to rent those out, I think.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I saw one of the off-duty deputies taking pictures in front of the one that's at Joseph County Sheriff's Office. It was kind of
funny. Yeah. That may be what it resorts to.
He was there with his family, said, I haven't been to a fair in 17 years, and they were having a blast.
That's great. Yeah.
Well, I think the smoke is good, but it's had its toll on Back to the 50s. There was half the people at Back to the 50s that there usually is for the car crews and stuff.
I didn't go because of it.
It was just like this. So.
So we really need to, I think this board should put in a charge to move the fair. The only thing that's holding over, I would imagine, is the allocation that the State Fair Association would hold over us. It's a $50,000 appropriation. They're going to make that up at a different time of year. Really putting your head down and saying in 3 years, our fair is going to be held at the end of May, in June, or some date.
What about FFA? I mean,
if they have three years of advance notice, they can reschedule their steer that they'll purchase, you know, in December. They're not purchasing in December, they're purchasing in July. Mm-hmm. All of that, Jen McGowan and I have talked, they just need notice.
Okay.
Because there's other parts of the region that are doing that. And
yeah.
It's totally doable. It just needs to be scheduled. They can't do it this year.
No.
Steers for next year are already dropping right now. So it's got to be, you know, thought about and figured out what I envision is that you'd have an earlier fair and a late harvest festival in October that has like a Halloween kind of a theme to it. You open up the arena.
Mixed harvest and Thanksgiving and everything kind of together, maybe.
Yeah, I mean,
October,
it's
November.
One, you get two, but it's too close right now. There's certain things that we could do. And I think
we just
need an attitude.
Jackson County moved up. They used to be back-to-back Josephine Jackson County Fairs. They're a month apart now.
Let's just do it.
Yeah.
So.
But I think another thing that would be find out from the carnival people what their schedule is and if there's an opening and block in it, because that's the biggie.
They'll be there.
They'll find a way to be there whenever it's scheduled.
That's
yeah.
the big one.
And this whole that we can't duplicate, Clackamas County Fair is going on right now. So don't tell me that we can't have it at the same time. Well, we're not going to have their carnival thing here anyway. Clackamas is huge.
Yeah.
There's 350,000 people in that county. Is not the same carnival that's coming to Josephine County. I agree, we can't have the same carnival probably as Courier Coos or something like that. That's fine. Well, look at the date. It's totally possible. I won't take no, but my whole life it has been a negative.
It's
having
been
it
105 every
year. If you were to pick the worst
year.
Time of year to have
August
a fair,
is it.
Why are we stuck? Because we just say, well, it's impossible to change it. No, it isn't.
No.
Just do it. The other thing is I've got a, I'm starting a list of things that I think are necessary to do that I just haven't gotten to. I apologize in my time here. I'm going to give you a couple of them. An audit committee is
mm-hmm.
probably an idea that we should put together. Not the budget committee, but it should be reflective.
I like Jackson County. They have an employee that does audits of every department.
Well, we have
as well.
Sandra. That's she's the auditor for us. I mean a committee, a
okay.
public body.
But not just looking at finance, auditing results, auditing performance, auditing.
No, just finance.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to. I don't want. To, you know, there's a core competency with the people that I would assign to that. Recruit and assign, that it might be performance could be a different wheelhouse of skills that I think is different. First with the finance element.
Mm-hmm.
It comes about from the idea that AOC was thinking, you know, as a board member for a while, all I was told was everything's good. And we have a phenomenal, robust auditing program with our outside auditor, but so did they. What I'm looking for is that thing that says it's a third-party public group of five people or something that are just, they come alongside the audit, the formal audit that we pay for, and check all of the boxes just one more time so that it's not just the person we pay to tell us that everything is okay. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's a third party of really smart people that says, yeah, everything's good. Because that's a $4 million program at AOC and really smart people in the room, but there isn't a formal secondary committee that reviews the audit and says, yeah, everything that you're supposed to be looking for is being checked off the box. So
okay.
that's one of those thoughts. The other thought that I had was a formal flow chart of internal controls. It would explain what, like there shouldn't be any confusion about who signs an IGA, who
mm-hmm.
signs a contract, who signs an order, who signs an amendment. We have some of these things. Some of them are not all put down on paper, and it's not a fun thing to do, but it's a necessary thing, I think, for as much transition as this board has had in the last 8 years without an administrative team. You need it codified someplace other than in a couple people's heads of what it does for best practices.
So as you change commissioners, you've got something to go back to.
really it's for staff to reference, that's the existing policy. And I think we've gotten into some challenges on this board when it isn't really put down on paper, historic best practices. It's just kind of with who can remember how we kind of used to do it. And sometimes there's real deficits in not having it down on paper.
Okay.
There's probably about a half a dozen others that are out there.
We'll write them down.
Yeah.
Write them down, absolutely. Anything else that we've got? I'm going to be out at the fairgrounds from 2 p.m. on today, doing what Lily did yesterday. It looks like you came through it okay without too many bumps and bruises. Did you wreck anything?
No, just...
There you go.
I'm looking forward to all the fencing being down tonight that was surrounding the grandstand, so it'll be more open and easy to get through.
Yeah, I think that was tough because you were actually just taking them from point A to point B, which was...
Because Tough Trucks tonight is every... Yeah.
Tough Trucks is Saturday?
Tonight?
Oh, okay, good.
Saturday is the rodeo.
Yeah, Saturday would be, yeah.
It's not easy to find the schedule. It's buried, like, on the Facebook page of the fair, like 10 posts down. I looked last night, I was like, what's happening tomorrow? There's no, it should be the top thing on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening tomorrow? I had to go 10, 20 posts down to find out what the schedule was, so. One of those.
But how do you keep up with that? How do you keep your post in number one position?
Oh, it's your thing. You just put what tomorrow is, Thursday.
Right, but then when somebody posts, your post continue to move down?
No. Other people can't post on the page. It doesn't work like that with the fairgrounds page.
Okay.
They can reply to the comment and post that you do, mm-hmm. but I don't think that, I didn't see that there were other people controlling them.
Get how that works.
Feed.
So the truck and tractor pulls are Thursday and Friday.
Yeah. And rodeo's Saturday.
And rodeo's Saturday. And it's water under the bridge now, but I wish I'd have thought of it back then. The roofing on the barns, you know, the livestock barns, it just rolled, it looks ugly, and it's, you know, they've just kind of got it pulled back away from the edge so it doesn't fall on anybody. But gosh, how much metal roofing did they take off and crumble from the old Southern Oregon Medical Center? Had we known, gee, you're going to do that with a thumb?
Yeah.
We could have said, can we get up there and pry all of that stuff off and just go out there and install it? And then we'd have filled in the spaces, you know, with, you know, opaque panels or something, you know. We could have really done a lot of work out there.
Totally.
And, but nope.
Bummer.
Yes. The schools are getting ready to re-roof Redwood because they keep having leaks where the clips wore holes in it. I'm not really
buying.
I have a hard time swallowing that concept, knowing what their ventilation is in their attic. I think it's raining, but I won't say that. I mean, I kind of brought it up. I knew it was going to do it at Washington. At Lincoln. It clouds up and rains in the attic. You put, you know, everything's fine until you get 350 kids breathing out 98.8% relative humidity on a cold day.
The dry rot associated with that is.
But anyway, talking to James Lowell, I don't know what they're going to do with the roofing material off of those schools. That maybe we can incorporate that, put a membrane down and put the metal over the top of it, and you know, for you know, just so that nothing falls on the membrane type thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
good felt underneath it. Any roof is only good as the felt that's under it.
Yep.
So maybe that's something I'll talk to James Lowe about. Might be able to get that.
Yeah.
You know, and if we could cut. And one of the things he says is that they made the panels too long. So that's what's causing them to expand and contract. I buy a little bit of that, but not having a metal roof on my house. It's been there for 25 years and no leaky. And I think it's something else. But that's just my own personal opinion. But maybe I'll reach out to James Lowe and see if there's a possibility when they pry that stuff off of there.
There's no harm to ask. There's no harm in
asking.
Absolutely
no harm in asking at all. So anyway, anything else from anybody? I will be gone tomorrow and Monday. I'll be in town and available, but I'll be back in the afternoon.
Okay.
So I just got a morning thing for both of them. And then I'll be back in the afternoon. So. Okay?
Alrighty.
With that, we're adjourned at 9:55. Have a pleasant day.